This show is brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off of all the great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport, Strongbone. It's code word church to get 10% off. Show is also brought to you by NailedItLife.com and Los Gumis Hermanos. When you go to NailedItLife.com, you're going to get the premier vapor pen on the market for oil and wax smokers, and you're going to get 20% off when you use code word Joey Diaz. Go to irondragontv.com and use code word Joey to get 2 free rentals of all their great martial arts movies. They're the leader in 4K technology, and they're coming out soon with an app for your Android tablets. Use code word Joey to get 2 free rentals. And the show is also brought to you by hitesigs.com. Better tasting, longer lasting. The proof is in the vape. They have e-cigarettes and e-cigars for you. Use code word Joey's Church to get 20% off your order.
You better break your shit.
What?
Oh shit. Crank this motherfucker, Lee Syatt. Where's the microphone? Lee, wake it up. The microphone, where is it? Turn this motherfucker on, I don't hear it. Check. Two, you bad motherfuckers. The church, yo, what's happening now? Huh?
My skin is my sin.
Oh shit. May 11th, motherfuckers. Half over and you're still dicking around.
Get your hide in a Spike Lee joint.
What?
I'm a chicken hawk and I'm hunting chicken and watermelon. It ain't nothing.
What do you think of that, Lee? What?
You like it?
Yeah, you like the move. Wait,
I'm
enjoy. What? Kick it.
And I'm black as Serafina.
Get the hell out of Somalia. We didn't call ya. Kick it, Lee. Kick it. Kick that motherfucker.
Fuck Reggie Denton and Jimmy Cochran. Damn, I couldn't get close enough to sock them. I plead guilty, Your Honor. Cause I just approach more time than Sinead O'Connor.
What?
Like Button and Beavis, true as the Mac, but I'm down in it.
Wash your fucking feet, cocksuckers. It's gonna be a good week. Gotta make some Guinness for Memorial Day. Wanna get your dick sucked on the beach. Here it is.
That's ready to stop me. They think I'm Gaddafi. Rolling in a six straight jalopy. They wanna give me 10 in a pen.
What do you think of that, cocksuckers? Welcome to the church of what's happening now, you bad motherfuckers. No long time, no hablo. What's up, my favorite fucking Jewish person in the world?
Everything's up.
What? What's
fuck
up?
Fuck yeah. Nothing. I just had a great weekend.
What'd you do? You went with mama?
Yeah, we didn't do shit.
When
we,
she tells you that she's not going to see you, and then you see her, you're like a rejuvenated man. You're fucking hitting lunches, you know, eating brown rice and fucking chicken.
Oh, that's really good, that Asian box. But no, she finished her second year on Saturday, so we ordered a pizza, and we got high, and we fucking ate dessert and just hung out, watched 3 hours of Shark Tank, and passed out by midnight. I had cinnamon rolls. I had those Pillsbury cinnamon rolls.
Did you make them fresh?
Oh yeah,
in the oven.
Oh yeah, you have to.
And you got extra cream and smear that those motherfuckers.
Not
to
extra
the
cream,
end.
But just yeah,
just the shitty cream they give you.
Where do you get extra cream from?
Because you want to. Don't worry, you gotta make a few calls to Kraft. What the fuck makes them?
You joke that like my sweat smells like cheeseburgers, but on the elliptical today, I'm convinced I was burning like a McDonald's cheeseburger off.
From a long time ago?
Because it smelled like a cheeseburger. But you know when the pickles and the ketchup get hot and it like has that, oh, I was on the elliptical, like, why do I smell like a McDouble?
You could smell the pickle coming. You could smell the pickle juice coming out of
the pickle and ketchup,
and
yeah.
That's amazing, this motherfucker smell. When was the last time you ate McDonald's?
Over 6 months ago.
So it's been in your, you just caught like a little piece of fat in the armpit that had the fucking pickle in there.
I think so, yeah.
Tremendous, man. I'm happy that everything's working out. You had a great weekend. I was in fucking Grand Rapids. Great club. Great audiences. The food at this place. They got a salmon. They got a beautiful salmon on a bed of tortellini with green peppers, red peppers, a little goat cheese cream. That'll put you in a different dimension, Lee. A little bit of tortellini, too.
I love tortellini. You know I like tortellini. Man.
No, it's gnocchi.
Oh, gnocchi. Okay.
With a little potato in it, and they fucking just delicious. You understand me? Just off the fucking chain delicious. The shows were great. I thought my Thursday show was Mensa Morte, but it was good. Friday, my best show was Saturday early. Friday late, that crazy. I'm crazy. The timing's off, but fuck it, we make it work, you know. But I had a great time. That's a great
awesome
little city. That is a great, great little city. You know, I'm really happy because the places I go to, I really want to go to, and I really enjoy them. There's maybe one or two things. You know, Lee, I don't even eat in these cities no more.
What do you mean?
Really, like, you know, I don't know. I think the last time I went to Buffalo, I only had 3 wings.
Yeah.
Like at the club one night. You know, I just really don't, like, I've been there so many times, I see it. Remember I was telling you that I had the chubby state of mind mentality that everywhere you go, the first thing you think of is food. Like some people think, oh my God, when I go to this place, the first thing I'm going to go to this library or go to this museum I like, or there's a coffee shop that makes my latte. No, guys like you and I think about, fuck, there's a place on the corner that make barbecue. I'm going to go have two fucking barbecue sandwiches.
I'm going to try to go home for a weekend this summer to Boston, and my mom and I are already planning what I'm going to eat.
What are you going to eat?
We're going to go to Legal's, which is one of my favorites, and then there's a really great barbecue place where I used to go when I was in high school that I'm going to go to. Beautiful. And it's crazy how much I never, like, Mother's Day is great, but I wanted to talk to you about it because Paula's mom is, like, the first mom of any girlfriend that I've been, like, tight with. And, like, yesterday I gave her a card, and we're going to a Dodgers game on Thursday. And she got really, like, emotional. We can't really talk because she doesn't speak English. But, like, I can imagine Mother's Day for you, like, after your mom passed away, must have been fucked up. But then you probably had other people who took that place.
Like, yeah, like, yesterday, even when I was having a fucked up day, I made some calls from Mother's Day.
Yeah.
People who were nice to me growing up, and they got a kick out of the call. But it's funny. Every Mother's Day, yes, I think about my mother, but I also think about the mother to my ex-wife. You know, she was real. So that's why I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I was thinking about a fight we had one time that could have really been bad. You know, I don't believe in setting a crib up until the baby's born. It's just a superstition that Cubans have, maybe a couple of other cultures have. I'm just fucking superstitious.
Like, you think something bad could happen?
Once the baby's born, then you build the crib. He's not going to be home for two fucking days anyway. You come home, you build the crib. It takes one fucking hour. No. That's the only beef we ever had, her and I. We had a beef about a crib one time that escalated a little bit, and I walked out of the room because I didn't want to blow it up. But my mother-in-law was very cool. When I got to my first job selling cars, I didn't have clothes, she gave me her Visa card and said, go use it and just pay me what you can every week. And I paid off like $600. I had to get a couple suits and some shirts. She used to cook special for me. She knew I liked pierogies, the sauerkraut ones. And
oh, wow.
So that's, it's, you know, growing up, you always hear people, comedians and people, TV, the comedies towards the mother-in-law. You hate the mother-in-law. Right. You hate the mother-in-law. You hate the mother-in-law. But once you have a mother-in-law, see, to me, like even Terry's mother and I are close to an extent. But I know when I'm with Terry's mother, I know that she likes me because she looks at her daughter and she sees a smile on her face.
Right.
See, that's why this woman loves you, because you're making her daughter happy. You're acting like a gentleman in her fucking home. You show respect in her home. Now, a lot of guys just, you know, yeah, guys do it, but it's weird to date somebody, and it's weird to date somebody and become a part of their family. It's a complete different experience, especially when you're a young man and you always have thoughts about living with somebody. Like the first time I moved in with a woman, it was big for me.
Yeah, oh yeah, we still haven't done it.
Like I was 25. It was like a different thing. You try to keep cool, but there's nothing you could do. It's just an evolution. You just evolve into a girl being in your house. Now you lived with guys, and now you have this woman who lives with you, and you try to do things, and you become best friends with her, or you don't. But it always evolves, you know. But that relationship with your in-laws, I still remember my ex-in-law dad. He really dug me. Him and I had become a great relationship. He was a pseudo-father to me in a different genre. Carmine was a father to me. Mr. Bender was a father to me, you know. Mr. Runny was a father to me. Mr. Holloway was a father to me. But he was a different father to me in a different genre. He didn't have that mindset. He made me read books. He spoke to me about history. When I got arrested for kidnapping, he came and bailed me out and spoke to me and asked me what happened and to tell him the truth. And I told him the truth. And it was weird because I had dated his daughter for 4 years, and we were always on a very 50-50 type relationship. And once I got arrested, he showed his true colors to me, and I could show my true colors to him. And it really changed our relationship. I would go up there on the weekends and help him cut wood, and we'd speak about his life and history and what my thoughts were and how I was going to achieve the things I wanted. And sometimes I think that the only reason why I didn't go off in Boulder was because of him. I didn't want to disrespect him and his wife for what they had done for me, because even though me and his daughter weren't together, they did a lot for me, man. I always respected that of people. When somebody does something, I never wanted them to feel like I used them, you know? That was always very important to me. If you've been used, you know the feeling. It's a shitty feeling. And you never look at that person again who uses you, you know?
Right.
So I always wanted to give people, let them know that what they contributed to my life, I took into consideration in my future decisions. That's why I made those calls to some of my friends' moms yesterday.
And it, like, Paula's mom has been broke forever.
All her life.
And so, like, I got her a card, and I went to Porto's and got her a favorite cake, and I could tell that that meant more to her than if I had, like, let's say, like, let's say I went and bought her, like, diamond earrings or just something I'm sure some guys do, and, like, you wouldn't cut wood with your father-in-law. You probably could have paid.
He had, like, 3 sons.
Yeah.
And his sons overlooked that fact.
Right.
You know, maybe your mother-in-law has other boys, 2 other sons, and one of them couldn't show up because he went to the wife's house.
Yeah.
It's, and that's what probably happened.
Yeah.
I don't even know this. It's really weird when, and I see the change that Paula and her family has had on you. They've had a really great effect on you in the sense that it's brought you back to basics. It was the same effect that I had when I was growing up and I used to go to 148th Street. You see how the other side lives. Sometimes you have a bad day and you, fuck yeah. And all of a sudden you think about Paula, how they didn't have an air conditioner. They don't even know what that world is. Like, they just didn't have air conditioners. They had fans.
Right,
Spanish
yeah.
people. They had fans.
And they still don't even turn the AC on, but at least yeah. they have it now.
They don't even think about it. They live so long without it.
Right.
That they've learned how to adjust. And when you see that, you see how spoiled we are as people. I've always talked about that. When you see a woman at 10 o'clock, you know, pull up with her Range Rover and, I just left yoga. My day is so stressful. You know, I dropped the kids off. No, you didn't. The nanny dropped the kids off. You went to yoga with your Range Rover. And now you went to Latteville to tell them all what a big day you have. But what about that lady that's taking care of your fucking kids all day? What about the Spanish woman that, like I told you 1,000 times, on Victory and Vineland by the fucking Target over there that's walking across the street pregnant with a kid in the bucket and one in the fucking hand going across fucking Vineland with 10 shopping bags? You think she walks around saying, my feet hurt, yoga? No, fuck no. So it makes you humble and makes you see what people can do and how the other side lives.
Right.
And
yeah.
the things that you thought were just impossible, and now you see it. You never dreamt of living with 4 people in your fucking bedroom. Never. No. Never. When I was growing up, I never. When my mother died, the thought of having to share a bedroom was incomprehensible to me. Like, it was incomprehensible. But that death brought me back. Eleanor's got a great joke. She says that. That special, she says that rich people, you know, poor people don't have food allergies.
Yeah.
You know, poor people do not have food allergies, okay? You think you go over there and one of those kids are allergic to peanuts or cheese, juice, or they just don't. You really see how the other half lives. You see what you can live without. This is what happened when my mother died. This is when I said to you, like, I always saw what I could do without. That's why I'm the way I am. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I always thought you had to be there at midnight to watch the movie. What if you missed it? You wake up the next morning, life is still the same. And you see life from a different perspective because you weren't part of a sheep fucking movement. It's really weird to say no and to go against something you really want to do. But when you do it, you see the other side. You see how the other side lives. You always realize what's important now. Holy shit, I see what's fucking important.
And what I found, at least, and
let's try. Listen, hold on 1 second.
Auntie, what are we going to try right now?
Auntie Dolores sent us the new packaging today. She sent us cocoa cookies. She sent us caramel corn. This is the new packaging, and she sent us savory pretzels. As you know, Auntie Dolores is the leader, you know, in vegan sugar-free snacks, and
she's the leader in death.
She also sent us a 30-milligram edible that we'll eat right now.
Let's have the caramel corn. What are you going to take there? Oh, you want to do the brownie? Okay.
Oh, that's a little brownie, bro. That's going to be very special. It's just myself and Lee. So we're going to have a little fucking smorgasbord here tonight. And just talk some shit with you people. You know what I'm saying? Just very simple about what's going on. We've had Regan in here and the football player. And every once in a while, we just want to talk shit and for you guys just to tap into our conversation and see what the fuck we're feeling and what we're doing. I'm sorry, Lee, to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. I'm just thinking. I'm glad I Ubered. So you were just saying, like, what you realize you can live without. I used to go every year to my dad's friend's Christmas party. And they're super rich, and they had someone dress up as Santa, and they had all this gifts and all that sort of stuff, and it was always fun. The best Christmas I've ever had was the first year, the first Christmas with Paula and her mom. It was me, her mom, and her cousin. We did gifts, we did food and tamales, and then we got drunk and played Loteria in their house in Englewood. And it was great. Like, it's just...
It's simple.
Yeah.
It's simple. There's no fakeness. There's no, you know, they. I like Christmas. I tell you, one of the best Christmases I had was my Christmas in prison. It was the best Christmas I ever had because it broke it down to the simplest of what Christmas was. You know, that we exchanged gifts. Yeah, I gave one guy a comb. I gave the other guy, like, fucking batteries, you know. But it was about food. It was about guys being together locked up and making the best of what they had. And when you do that sometimes, it's a different holiday. It adds a different fucking twist to everything. You know, I've always been a spokesman against weddings. It's not that I hate marriages and whatever. I just don't, at a point, it becomes like you're getting married for somebody else.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I want you to get married for you. When I got married the first time, I got married for me, but it was for her parents. When I got married to Terry, it was about us. It was about what we wanted, how we wanted to do it, you know, what we wanted people to wear, which was regular shit. We did it on a Wednesday. It was a wedding.
Did you get any shit? Like, how could you not be doing this or how?
People know better to say something just, about something
with
like
you,
that.
They don't care.
You know?
Yeah.
I'll break it down for you. Everybody's here on Wednesday. Everybody's here. What's the busiest night in a college town, in any town?
The
night before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody goes out. Everybody wears their nice shirts. They're home from college. College is great. You should. Where are you going to school? I took the semester off. Oh, yeah. What? And they make you feel bad. Biggest night of the fucking year, Thanksgiving. Biggest night of the fucking year. You know? So that's why.
Oh, is that when you did it?
What's that?
The wedding. Your wedding.
Yeah, I did it the night before Thanksgiving. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Did it on Wilshire in a little office building. And once you open, it looks like a fucking church. Filipinos and immigrants get married in there. Little pre shows up. We took the third floor penthouse suite. If you were over 6'2", you banged your head on the ceiling.
But you had a great time. Like, I've seen the pictures.
Mike Kessler walked my wife down. You know, it was Red Band and Ari with a suit. Ari wore a suit and gave me a present. And we got married. And we raced up to the Hollywood Bowl. And we got fucking white rice, black beans, and pork chunks from Silver Lake El Cochinito, and we got pastrami sandwiches from Langer's with a bunch of rye bread, and then we got fucking fried chicken from Rouse, and we got sodas, and we bought a bunch of booze. You can make your own drink, and that's it. I didn't care what you wore. I didn't care who you brought. My wife made a wedding cake overnight. She stayed up all night making it. My wife got high. She put a dress on. I put a suit on, and we got married. Her parents didn't show. My family didn't come. It was, I didn't care. I understand. I'm not there to get married for people. I'm there to get married for myself. I never held a grudge against people. Felipe didn't go. A lot of people, Ralphie didn't go. They were working. I got it. I wasn't mad. I had to do it that day. I did not want to do it on a Saturday and, you know, make a big to-do. I just wanted to fucking get married. And look, we're still together. We're going to go on 15 years. I love him more than ever. I didn't get married. I remember years ago, the black chick from The View got married to some fucking black dude. And they fucking had Chris Rock there and the chubby black girl. What's her name?
Sherry Shepherd?
No, the one before Sherry Shepherd.
I'll look it up.
Okay, she got married. She lost a lot of weight and blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. And the guy fucks some fucking whatever. The chick from Desperate Housewives. They had a $10 million wedding with the basketball player from the Spurs, the fucking black guy that lost his edge. And all of a sudden, they got married. Everybody loved each other. And what happened? Boom. He fucked the housekeeper. You know, hey, guy, listen, that's all that shit is to entangle glasses and for your friends to come and say it was elegant. And at the end of the day, nobody gives a fuck. They're all there for the fucking free meal. So, you know, and to be seen and to be heard, that's why that celebrity shit is bullshit to me. Every time I see a celebrity get married, it's garbage. It's like, you know, I love him, and you don't even love yourself. You're fake. You don't even write your own fucking lines, you piece of shit. You expect to fucking love somebody. Get the fuck out of here. What's up, Lisa? You bad motherfucker, you.
This brownie hit hard.
Right away. Yeah,
I don't know if it's a Green Hornet or what.
We don't fuck around. We also have what we're going to do, a little caramel corn and sample that.
Okay.
The caramel corn is delicious. We're going to do one of these fucking black mambos, the cocoa sparkle.
And listen, people know I really don't. I usually don't like brownies. Like anything with chocolate with weed is usually not my favorite. That is that brownie's. I almost couldn't taste the weed. You can still taste weed.
I could tell on your face that you didn't fucking sour and pucker up. And one other thing, Lee.
What's up?
Let these people know, whether it's Anarchy Edibles, Chiba Chews, or Auntie Dolores, they have always been my go-to edibles. I mean, I just discovered Anarchy Edibles, and I think they're brilliant. I still got the star there. We ate all their fucking edibles. Great product. I like who runs it. I love his story.
Well, the thing that you taught me is you really have to switch it up because I don't know how many milligrams that brownie was. It's less than the star.
Yeah,
but since I haven't had anything like that for a while, it's hitting me fucking hard.
Well, it's
hard.
A different batch.
That's what I'm saying.
When you eat Chiba Chew, they have that type of butter. I guess when you eat their stuff, they have that type
of
butter.
You go on rotations, dude.
Sure, because you don't ever want to. It's like working out. You want to run 1 week. You want to do kettlebells 1 week. You want to bodybuild 1 week. You want to go to jiu-jitsu 1 week. You always keep it up so your muscles are always. I swam on Friday, Lee. I went to the fucking thing. I put my fucking lifting suit on. And I went downstairs, and as I walked down, the pool was empty. I knew that Saturday, the pool was going to be filled with fucking kids. I went upstairs. I went in my little utility bag where I got an extra sleep apnea. I got everything, like sugars, you know, those cancer sugars.
You save sugars?
I have to, just in case I go to a hotel room and I make coffee and they got no fucking sugar. So I have everything in there. Okay, I got everything fucking in there. I went upstairs. I got the goggles. I ran down. I jumped in the pool. Lee, I was doing laps, breaststroking, kicking on the way in, and then just pulling myself on the way back. I would do that 5 times and then walk around the pool or run around the pool and throw side kicks. And the pool was 4'6". So it was from my fucking chest down. I did that for a half hour. I'm not going to lie to nobody. I stayed in the pool for a half hour and I stayed in the jacuzzi for like 20 minutes.
You can do 5 back and forths?
Yeah.
That's hard.
But I know how to breathe. I learned how to breathe with swimming. The first 2 times I did it, I almost drowned.
I don't remember the last time I swam.
Because you have to suck in and then breathe when your head goes in. When you do a breaststroke, when you do this one coming around, you twist your head on this arm.
Yeah.
And you breathe in, and as you throw that arm, you breathe out. So when you pop up again,
you
breathe
out. You have to breathe out?
You have to breathe out when you hit the water. You breathe out in the water. You exhale.
Oh.
So right here. And as you hit, it's all timed. It's a beautiful thing. Swimming is a beautiful thing.
I love swimming.
When you see those guys fucking doing
the
butterfly, me neither. But when you see them doing the butterfly, when they're on the way up, they're inhaling. When they hit the water, they exhale. When they pop out, they inhale. They can't breathe under the water, so you might as well exhale it and use that power. You know, you have to put your fingers together to grab. So all those little intricate things when you do a little breath, because I can't do a regular breaststroke anymore because of my shoulders, but I could do the pull from the bottom. If I had the pulleys, I would put those between my legs. Then you float, and that gets your core. And you just fucking pull. Your shoulders get strong. It loosens everything up in here. You don't need no 20 massages from some Chinese woman.
Obviously, I don't know much about toning, but I've heard like that swimming is the best thing for like building muscle.
Well, the problem with swimming is that it's a great exercise. You burn a lot of calories while you're in the water, and you burn a great cardio, but when you get out of the pool, that's it. It doesn't stay with you the rest of the day as if weightlifting would or running would. When you run or you weightlift, those calories burn throughout the day. The elliptical, those calories burn throughout the day. That's when you want to go early and eat your carbs for the day early, and it gets it out of the way. By the way, I'm down to 305.
Nice job, buddy.
20 fucking pounds on this little fucking diet. Fuck the. Somebody sent me another thing about the operation that after 9 years, you start losing your teeth because your body doesn't get the nutrients that it has to. You have to constantly drink milkshakes and milk and protein and this and that and get sun. So I think I'm going to stick with what I'm doing right now. It's working for me. I feel fucking great. I deadlifted today. I did all my upper lower end. I did the elliptical. Today I sweat like a fucking savage. It's very humid in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
What's up, Diggy? What are you looking at me like that for?
Because I'm fucking high as fuck already.
Fuck yeah. That's what we're supposed to be. That's what we do to church. Of what's fucking happening now, cocksucker. What else?
I had a fucked up thing happen on Friday.
What happened to my boy, Lisa? Yeah.
I had ordered flowers for my mom to be delivered Saturday. And like 9 o'clock, I even told Paul, I was like, my flowers, they haven't been, I don't have a tracking number yet. And I thought maybe since it was in Miami, they were going to just overnight it and deliver it that day. But at midnight, I got an email. So it's 3 a.m. their time, saying that they weren't going to be able to get it out. And they refunded it, and they're sorry. So I go crazy on Twitter. And then I just ordered flowers. What I'm going to do from now on is just order flowers from a local florist. But
the youth of America, I told you before the podcast started, you guys jump on this shit. That's cute. But at the end of the day, how effective really is it? I got to stop and press a button just to do, like I told Lee, Uber, you go outside and lift your hand, the cab shows up. But you motherfuckers want to make everything complicated.
In New York, not.
Lee's a great kid. He's great. But Lee loves that fucking computer. He loves anything. And God forbid they're on Shark Tank and they don't get money. Lee really goes with them. So,
well, I used them the first time because they were sponsoring a podcast.
Right.
But,
and they slipped. They slipped. And they fucking slipped and they fucked up the flowers or they got in too deep.
Probably.
They got in too deep. See, a lot of those services, what they do is they don't have shops. They call Lee in Boston. They go, hi, Lee. You're all quick florist. Yes, sir, you are. You have a 3-star rating on Yelp. This is what we do. We're a company. We're going to come to you every month. We're going to give you 50% more business, but we want you to discount our flowers by 25%. And what we're going to do is we're going to keep 15. And since it's going to be 10% off or 15% off, we're going to sell more flowers than you are. What do you think? Can you do that? It's like people with that shit now. When you want a ticket to a show, where do you go? Groupon or whatever the fuck you do. It's right. The same thing.
Yeah.
So you go to them, correct? This is what you did with the flowers. But that's all great and dandy. This is the service they create. So when you call them, all they're doing is shooting a fucking email to one of their centers.
Right.
Saying, can you send this? It could be a mom and pop fucking florist. The same florist you're going to use in your neighborhood.
Right.
That if you call them. But the florist gives attention to his business first. Because his business, he gets top dollar.
Of course.
He's cutting 15% off his services for his jack off. So who do you follow me?
Right, yeah.
Comprende?
No, and then the only reason I bring it up is because I got an email this morning from the CEO, or someone who said he was the CEO, and it was through their website, and he said, like, I'm sorry, maybe I could come on the podcast, and you could give me shit, and I could explain what happened, and I don't know how he found that. And then, because yesterday I tweeted, when you're having your issue, I tweeted, like, Books is the American Airlines of flower delivery or something like that. He said the Books line hurt a little bit, but it made me laugh. And I was like, what is happening? Like, yeah, did he really think he's going to come on here and, like,
FTD gives you points promote? On your flowers. If you use FTD, you get points on fucking Virgin and you understand me? If you use Hertz, you get, it's the same fucking thing.
Right.
FTD has been around since I was a kid. And they're solid, like the Rock of Gibraltar, like Western Union.
I thought I was supposed to go local.
Local is FTD. They're going to do the same. FTD does the same thing I told you that guy does, only they've been doing it for 900 fucking years. The guy with the torch with flowers in his hand running through the fucking jungle delivering your flowers, he's been around since I was a little fucking boy, okay? The issue with me yesterday was basically this. I fly for a living, ladies and gentlemen. And I've been flying since the age of fucking 6 or 7. I used to go to L.A. on Easter. I used to go to Puerto Rico and Miami on Pan American. And, you know, in the old days, guys, it was about comfort and service. You got on a plane, and if you had a coach ticket, you could buy an extension and go upstairs. Every plane had an upstairs. This is why when you look at a plane now, you're like, what the fuck happened? You just sit there. 20 years ago, you got on a plane, and you went upstairs. Once the seatbelt sign came on, and you bought drinks at a bar. And there was a guy playing the piano. Did you know that?
No.
And you could buy snacks.
Every flight
and mingle on flights.
That'd be nice.
Did you know that? Did you know that bathrooms in first class and other bathrooms had stuff in it, like creams that you could use and tapes? And it was just a different world.
They don't have that in your first class?
They gave a fuck about the consumer. They gave a fuck about, you know, they didn't waste your time. Every week on Facebook or on the news, I got to see about a plane that got left on the tarmac for 5 fucking hours and people ran out of food with no heat, air on, and people farting. I got up yesterday to pee in the middle of the plane, smelled like an animal. And I'm not saying this. It smelled like somebody had taken their feet off, somebody had shit their pants, somebody had armpitted, and it was all together in the middle, like from aisle 9 to like aisle 16. It was one of the worst odors I've ever smelled.
Hopefully it wasn't one person.
No, I don't think so. I think it was a conglomeration of stinky fucks. You know, today we don't care about nothing. The corporate structure has taken customer relation and they passed the buck. This society is used to it. But guys like myself, 50-year-olds and 40-year-olds, are not used to that. Yesterday in front of me, a 40-year-old was telling her daughter about what it was to fly 20, 30 years ago. But not just flying. Our whole complete corporate structure. When you call the phone person, you spoke to a phone person. Today, a friend of mine called me and said, I'm in a bind. Can you send this money there for me? And I'll send it to you tonight right back. So it's in there. And I said, sure. I called Western Union. I couldn't speak to nobody. They kept messing up the automated thing.
Oh, yeah.
I
they
just
always
sent
mess
it to
up.
Them on PayPal. I had to put money in my PayPal and send it to them. So my whole thing is, I thought the fucking thing was going off. You know, this whole corporate thing, it's a pass the buck type of society we live on. And everything is very time consuming to the consumer. I think like all the corporations have gotten together and said, listen, let's do this. Every time somebody calls you, it's a 30, 40 minute phone call. You know, because then like that, they just say fuck it and get frustrated and get off the phone and hang the fuck up. That's what most people do. I'm busy. So are you,
Lee. I was on the phone once for an hour and a half with AT&T when I tried to get internet with them. An hour and a half. And then some people are charging now for you to do stuff on the phone. Like, let's say you
Most airlines, if you
like
book
some
online,
stores, yeah.
You get dirt. Can you turn the air on? It is hot tonight. It's okay. Humid. And we're about to taste something else. We're about to take the caramel corn now. Every 15 minutes, we'll take something today until one man passes out.
It's going to be me.
No, I'll be fine.
Place your bets.
Nah,
I get 10%.
Fine. You're as tough as fucking nails lately, Lee. You've been putting down some numbers lately. You're not eating 30 milligrams no more. You're opening up with 30 fucking milligrams. That's what it's all about, consistency. That was a very nice thing that Higgin Machado said. I really thought about his statement about consistency, and it really is true. I could only go to jiu-jitsu twice a week, but I go to jiu-jitsu twice a week. And that's it. And I keep, you know, it's like the podcast. We keep this every Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. That's how we fucking do it. And that's so fucking important in life. And to me, that's a great compliment. I love all that
shit.
Yeah,
I saw your eyes light up because you've said that a bunch about yourself.
So. I love it. You have to be. This is the only way to move forward is to let them know you're going to be there at that place at that time every fucking week for them. Yeah. So.
I wanted to talk to you about that because I was thinking about a lot this weekend. I have to go down and take a class. Like, there's no way. It'd be like if fucking, I don't know, Larry Bird was like, hey, you want to come? I can tell you some how to shoot a basketball.
I think, Lee,
I can give you basketball
I
shoes.
I think your life is going to change.
I don't know if I'm going to do it forever, but I can at least try it.
Let me tell you something. I think the gap, the little thing that's missing in your heart is some camaraderie thing. You have this and you have Paula. And you talk to Steve Simone and you talk to me and you talk to D'Agostino. You talk about one fucking thing, 10 things with three people. What jiu-jitsu does, what going to the gym really does, what you go to the gym, you get on the elliptical, you put a TV on.
Yeah.
You go there, you don't really want to even go there to go there to see what working out is really about. This weekend was great for me because I forgot my iPod. So when I went to work out Saturday, I had to do the elliptical for 30 minutes without the iPod.
That's tough.
And it lets you think. And this is what I've been telling you from day one. Leave that. You go there to put a stupid fucking movie on. It's a stupid fucking movie. Just go there to think of who the fuck Lee Syatt is on and what your next move is. When you go to jiu-jitsu, when you go to karate, when you go to kung fu, after a month, people don't laugh at you. People applaud you for going. Even though you sit in the back and you can't do all the exercises, everybody in that room knows that when they went there the first night, they couldn't do everything.
Right.
Okay? So that's the beauty of martial arts. You know, because of UFC and all this shit, we've forgotten the beauty of martial arts. It's become, we're using it for something else. You know, I don't use jiu-jitsu to be a tough guy, man. I really don't. I never use karate to be a tough guy. I use karate to let me know the things I couldn't do. Those punches, those breathings, those, you always want to be prepared. What if there's an earthquake and you got to run out of your building and you're huffing and puffing after 6 minutes?
I'll be the first one dead.
So what I'm trying to say to you is,
zombie
right now, Lee, you have this. You have to do something else because even when you go to the gym, you don't want to face nothing.
Yeah.
I want you to go to something. It doesn't have to be jiu-jitsu. If you don't want to go to Higgin Machado, I know how you feel. You haven't wrestled since high school. You don't know day one. Well, guess what? Neither did I. I never wrestled. And I went, and it showed me where I needed work in my life. And by me covering those little holes, it helped me in other areas of my life. You're not going to go 8 times a week. You're not going to go into competitions. You're not going to weightlift. But that's today. I don't know what you're going to think if you stick with it for a year. And I don't know what you'll think when you stick with it for 2 years. First of all, the drive.
Yeah, that's one.
You put your gear on. You drive to and fro. That drive, again, is with the radio off. It's a 20-minute ride for yourself. And even though you get aggravated, you may make a call or two. You're still thinking about your next move in your day. You're thinking about what you're going to go do. You know what? Last week, I learned an arm bar, right, from the closed guard. So this week, I'm going to go try it. But I'm also going to last 2 minutes today when I spar. 2 minutes. That's all I need to last. I'll be fine. I'll let them arm. You know what I'm saying? And every time you go, you make a little personal goal for yourself. And every time you go, you push and you push and you push. And now you realize that people are starting to join after 6 weeks, and now you're helping them. You're seeing people that were you 6 weeks ago. Right away, you feel better. That's the biggest confidence you could ever have in your life. When you think you suck at something, and now you're seeing people come in, and they're in the same shape as you, and they've been lifting, they've been boxing, they've been jumping rope, but jiu-jitsu shape is jiu-jitsu shape.
It's different?
Completely different than what you've done. Your core is fucking everything. Your back, you know, you're on your back breathing, and this breathing and this choking and this learning your body's limitations will help you sleep at night. It will help you in other areas of your life. Like I said, you think I joined jiu-jitsu to go to tournaments or whatever? Maybe not today. I just go to go twice a week and to learn something and to review something. And if every week I could do a little better than the week before, I'm okay. If every week I could run one half a lap, or if every week I could run one extra lap, or I could just do one hip escape more than I did last week. Last week I did 7. This week I try to do 8. Fuck, I did 6. You know what? When the class is over, I'm going to do 8. Then you do 6 again, and you go, you know what? I'm going to do another 6. And now you were supposed to do 8, but you did 16. You did 3 times 8, which is what, 18?
3 times 8 is 24.
3 times 8 is 24? Yeah, 24, I'm sorry. So now you did 24 burpees.
That's good.
There's so many different variables. And I'm not just talking to you about jiu-jitsu. It could be Shotokan karate. It could be judo. And now, 2 days a weekly, you don't talk to Joe Diaz. You don't have to smoke pot. You don't have to be the Flying Jew. You're Lee Syatt. That's all you are. Wouldn't it be great for 2 days a week that you just went somewhere? You don't have to tell me where you're going. Just go on your own. Don't tell nobody. Go on Groupon, see who's ordering a thing. You don't have to go to fucking Hegan's. Go somewhere where nobody knows you. And I guarantee, Lee, you're going to call me in 3 weeks and go, Joey, I went to jiu-jitsu. I fucking love it. It's so fucking hard. I almost died. But I went back and some guy kicked me in the stomach by mistake. It was so fucking fun. And when you're on top of people and people are teaching you stuff and you're sweating on them, it creates a bond. Yeah. It really is. And listen, man, I'm not preaching jiu-jitsu. I'm not preaching karate. I'm not preaching judo. I don't care if you take an archery class. It's that about you, Lee. You're going to that gym, you're wasting your time. Yeah, you lost some weight, but you're not doing nothing. You're getting on there, you don't think. You don't think of your next move. You watch some stupid fucking show, Community, or whatever the fuck you're watching, The Office.
I'm watching Gladiator. But no, I understand what you're saying. And
you have to go, Lee. You have to go just to get it over. You don't want to be 60 and go, I should have gone to jiu-jitsu. What are you going to do when you're 50 and you have a kid with Paul? Are you going to still be on that stupid Stairmaster?
Hopefully
no.
Not.
What are you going to do with your kid? What do you think? You're all going to be walking. What do you think? Once the Stairmaster ends, you guys are going to put on the weight. So you got to continue growing. You got to continue doing something. Because after Paula has the child and you get 40, you're going to put the weight back on again the same way fucking I did. So you might as well get involved in something now that you know when you have a child, you can look at Paul and go, I'm going somewhere for fucking 1 hour to do jiu-jitsu. Or I'm going somewhere to learn how to do nunchucks. Or I'm going somewhere to get out of your head for an hour.
Yeah.
When I told DiAgostino about his girlfriend, he took it the wrong way. I tell you, when we go do comedy, when we go to work, we go to work. If you bring your fucking girlfriend, then you have to bring her all the time. The first time you don't bring her, she's going to say you're cheating on me. So you got to bring them. You're going there to work. Now, instead of one breakfast, you got to hawk up for two. Instead of one ticket for the movies, you got to go two. When Lee and Joey are having fucking lunch, you got to show up with your fucking broad at the table, and you can't talk about dick. Do you understand me? You go to do a way to go away. Not because you don't love this woman. Not because. No. You go away to go away, to dig into your mind, to write a joke, maybe a fucking thought for 10 minutes. You ever know what things you think about when you're alone for 10 hours on a Saturday alone?
It's creepy.
How many times have I told you to get high at 6 o'clock? Get a notebook. Think of the ideas you get. Go to a coffee shop, even though you don't drink coffee. Stare at these fucking mutants drinking coffee on the computers, looking at whatever the fuck they're looking at. It's very interestingly. And that's all, you know, when you go over to that place, yeah, you lost the weight, but you haven't accomplished none. Right. You sit there and you watch some stupid movie.
I liked wrestling. I think I'm going to like jiu-jitsu. And
I'm telling you, I never did it. I don't like feet. I don't like people sweat. I don't like people nothing.
I'm just slow. I don't think I was scared. I'm just slow to get. You saw how long it took me to start working out. So, but and even if I end up going somewhere right down the street from me, I at least have to go try it out with Hegan. Like, that'd be crazy not to go.
Oh my God, I had such a great time last Wednesday. I'm going to go this Wednesday. I'm going to Hegan.
What time is it on Wednesday?
11 o'clock. 11 to 12:15, and we're back up the hill at 1 o'clock. Nice and easy. You stop at Jersey Mike's. Now you eat a sandwich with confidence. I get the turkey provolone on wheat bread, half of it. No vinegar, no. I keep it light, so it's just carbs, you know, pretty much after you eat, because you're going to go, you're going to sweat a little bit. I don't sit there. You know, one thing about me is I know if I sit there and get involved in 8 fucking wrestling matches, I'm not going to walk for 3 days. Then it becomes the law of diminishing returns. I go there, I do the drills, I do the exercise, I jump up and down, I roll with 2 or 3 people, I tap out, and I get in my car and I go home, though.
Oh, okay.
It's very fucking simple. Back to the American Airlines fucking thing here before we forget, cocksucker, all right?
Okay.
How you doing, kid?
I'm doing great.
Let's see the fucking... I'll tell you what we'll do.
You want to do more?
Yeah, we're going to sample everything.
Oh, my God, thank God.
Let's sample the caramel corn, just so you see. This is a beautiful...
Tell me
No gluten, no...
senses.
GMO, 120 milligrams, and it's 20 doses, so you're going to live. Try this caramel corn and tell me this isn't delicious, and we'll send the rest to Paula.
Okay. So what does it taste like?
What?
The caramel corn is good, like what...
Taste it. Taste it. You tell me. You be the judge. Tell me that's not delicious caramel corn. Just like you buy at a fucking high-end caramel corn joint. What's the face for? I don't want to eat in the microphone. I'm trying to be polite, cocksuckers. Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious, nutritious, vegan. You know, this is Auntie Dolores. The best when it comes to these fucking things. And like I said, all the edibles I get offer a different fucking bang to you. I like to mix them up. I don't even like smoking the same weed 2 or 3 days in a row. I like buying a weed. I'll smoke it Monday and I'll put it away till Wednesday. And I smoke something on Tuesday. I smoke something different. But I always got 6 different types of weed in the rotation. Sometimes I just smoke it all in one day and I call it. I tap the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? Lee, what's with the funny fucking faces?
I always wondered why you went to the weed store so much. Because you go like every day.
Every day. I go check it out. So maybe they got something.
Why not just buy like a bigger amount?
Because like I just told you,
like doing...
it just after 2 or 3 joints, I'm back to square one. It don't get me high no more. So I like to mix it up. When I was a kid, I'd buy pounds and I'd sell half of it and smoke half of it. And I saved a lot of money. But after a week, I was smoking 4 joints to get high. I'd smoke 16 joints in a fucking day, so I'd defeat the purpose. I could have sold that and made some bacala. You understand me?
A lot of joints.
Sure, but that's how you roll, even then. So, we get there. My flight is at 6:45.
Oh, yeah.
I get there at 5:30.
Which means you're up at what? After
I didn't even sleep. I got back from the hotel room, and Man on Fire was on from the beginning. I ran downstairs. I smoked a joint. I got a coffee at the bar, and I went upstairs and watched. Not decaf. I watched it, and I couldn't fall asleep, but it was okay because I slept 12 hours a day before. I prepared for this. I always try to prepare a little bit. I ate like a Valium and slept from 9 to 12. It was fucking tremendous. So I probably slept that night like 12 hours the day before.
Oh, okay. That's good.
So I was good. I got up, worked out, ate dinner, and I did both shows, and that was my day. So I basically got there. I had some... Oh, the breakfast was horrible. Don't ever eat eggs that are not yolked at the airport. I never eat scrambled eggs. Like, if I go somewhere and they have eggs scrambled, I don't eat them.
What are they?
They're powdered, milked, fucking water, fucking eggs.
Oh, gross.
Like that Subway sandwich shit.
Oh, I would never get that.
Oh, my God. So, the other day, I'm starving in Michigan, and I'm too early to do radio, so the only thing was open by the radio place was Subway sandwiches instead of a supermarket. I got a fucking egg sandwich on wheat with green peppers and something else. I took 2 bites of it, and I just threw it away. But at least I didn't pass out from lack of sugar and from not eating. You follow me? It was so fucking bad. They have those powdered eggs.
They have them already made. Like I was at one once.
And they nuke them.
Yeah, at like midnight, and they just pulled it out from the back.
Disgusting.
Like,
fucking disgusting. It's pure cancer. You might as well jump in a river in Jersey. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get... That's pure fucking cancer. So I ate that, threw it away. And then when I went to the bagel place on Sunday at the whole... They've only had a bagel place in McDonald's. So I went to the bagel place. I was going to get all the bagels with Staminka bagels. So I ended up getting a fucking plane with turkey and cream cheese and a tomato. And it held me because I don't want to get on a plane and have a problem. And it held me. We get on the plane. We board the plane at 6:15, first class upgrade, no fucking drama. Nice seat, second. It's cold on the plane. I put my hooded sweatshirt on. I'm ready to nappy noonoo. There's been a maintenance problem. Get off the plane.
Oh, fuck.
The plane's going to take off at 10. Okay? So we take off at 10 fucking o'clock. We get on the plane. We're in the air about an hour, and all of a sudden the thing comes on. There's tornadoes in the area. We're not going to land in Dallas. We're going to land in Wichita, Kansas. So we land in Wichita Hills, Kansas, or some shit. You got to see this airport. Beautiful. No food. Just two vending machines and two fucking gates. They won't let us out. I saw fucking TSA sit down for maybe 2 hours without a customer. Okay? And a cop was in there. They wouldn't let us out of the building. No food. I had beef jerky. Beef jerky and a bag of fucking trail mix. That's what I ate.
Balanced lunch.
We sat there for 3 hours. From there, we took off to Dallas. We got to the tarp. We sat on the tarp for fucking 2.5 hours. I got on the airport at 6 o'clock. You should have seen those desks. They were packed. There was bad weather, but ours was a maintenance problem that if they would have had fit. My beef was this. Why don't the mechanics come in at 6 and warm up the plane and check the plane before the plane takes off? You're going to tell me once you get on the fucking plane? That's lack of professionalism, especially for the fucking plane, the amount of money we spent for plane tickets. I called you last week. Tell these people what's going on to go to Boston in June.
Like $700, you said?
$700 with taxes.
It used to be $300 when I moved
How
down
much
here.
Was Virgin? Six, you well, told yeah. me. We asked Somewhere them 580. There. 580 we talked about. Guys, that's a lot of fucking money. I hope you have crews on 24 hours that are inspecting these planes.
Might as well.
Okay, so they cross off the flight, you know, now 2 hours. Fueling? They hit you with that fueling thing. I never seen planes fuel so fucking much.
Just to get from Dallas to LA.
We were at Wichita for 3 fucking hours. Now we're on a tarp for 2. I get in, it's fucking packed. Since I had a platinum thing, the lady goes, go to the Ambassador's Club, whatever the fuck it is, Admiral's Club, where Bert Kreischer drinks himself to death, and get your ticket reboarded or they'll give you a hotel room. Between me and you guys, I just wanted to come home. I got to leave on Wednesday, go do that fucking video game up in San Francisco. I just want to come home and spend 3 days with my family. It was Mother's Day. Now I'm on a tarp. You know I didn't yell on the tarp? I didn't do nothing. First off, I wasn't prepared. I had 2 things, nasal spray. I had 1 fucking Green Hornet, and I had 2 Chiba Chews. You know me.
For a flight.
And I found just a vapor a pen with half of that stuff in it. The juice left.
Oh, yeah.
The dab in the vapor pen. So I was hitting dabs at the airport. So I was tuned up. At the airport at 6 o'clock, I was so fucking tuned up, and I hadn't eaten. So I looked on the board, and I saw that there was a 7 o'clock. It was 6:10 when I landed in Dallas. There was a 7 o'clock flight, an 8:10 flight, an 8:30 flight with a connection in Phoenix, and a 9:40 flight. I looked at the gate where the 9:40 flight was, and I rushed there. And everybody was on that line for an hour, dog. So 3 hours on the tarmac, 2 at the fucking airport, all the way around. And 2 hours early, now I'm an hour standing on line. And I got American Airlines calling me back within 1.5 to 2.5 hours, they told me. They're going to call you
right,
back.
Yeah.
I get up to the fucking thing, and they're like talking about Tuesday morning. But there was a flight at 9:40, and since I had to upgrade the first class ticket in the platinum level, they said, we'll try to get you on standby. I said, tell me right now if I can get on. That's the last flight. If not, let me go to a hotel room. The lady looked me in the eye. She goes, you're getting on. Okay, I went and got barbecue at Dickie's, which was terrible, with some cheese and some fucking coleslaw. I think the coleslaw was the best thing on the fucking dish. I mean, I ate half of the barbecue meat, 2 or 3 pieces of macaroni and cheese. Then I just walked around stoned to the gills. I fueled up the phone, you know. So now, what do you think happens at 9:40? We line up at 9:10, and as we're going to go board, there's something wrong with the fucking plane. No. The stewardesses didn't get here.
What? So just go. You don't need drinks.
So now we don't board till 9:40. The third stewardess shows up. Okay. We sit on the plane for 20 minutes. We're ready to board. There's a maintenance problem. We deboard the plane, Lee. Now we wait a half hour. It's 10 o'clock. I'm not coming home. I'm in Dallas. Now we wait a fucking hour, and then they held out that they switched the boarding gate to something else. I got to run, get on a fucking train, and go get over there on that plane. We get there, and what do you think they tell us, Lee?
Move back.
We're waiting for a stewardess.
Another stewardess?
What happened to the stewardesses from the other fucking plane? Well, since they were assigned to that plane, they can't come on this plane. Guys, you have no fucking idea. This is American Airlines, okay? Then guess who comes trotting along?
That stewardess?
The three stewardess from the other fucking plane. So then they board us. And then before we're about to take off, they go, listen, just to let you know, they didn't do a maintenance check on this plane. The light just came on. I got it handled. If the light comes on again, we got to go back and do maintenance. And that might take 2 hours, which means 3 or 4 hours, which means you might as well make till 6 in the fucking morning.
Yeah.
But everything went. I landed at 1 something. When I landed, I was smart enough because those flights were earlier. I knew my luggage was going to be there. So I ran to that area. Everybody else ran to the luggage thing. And I'm like, you guys were at the airport for 5 or 6 hours. Your luggage is already here. I saw my luggage by the escalators. I was walking off. I went right for it, crossed the street, got in the car, and I drove home. My wife cooked. I ate. I stayed up till like 3:30 in the morning. I couldn't even fall asleep. I was so fucking tired.
That's a long fucking day, man.
That's a long fucking day. So I wrote my grievance today. I wrote what I wanted. And let's see what happens.
That's great. That's when I went to like the wedding in Vermont. And at the wedding, they canceled my flight, and I had to drive to Albany.
They like, gave you what?
What do you mean?
You said they gave you points or something like that.
They didn't give me shit.
They gave you guts. You gotta ask. Delta just gave me like 5,000 points for a flight they fucked up. So what I wrote to American Airlines was it was a mechanical problem. You know, you can't have that many mechanical problems when I'm paying the money I'm paying for the plane tickets. I understand there's bad weather. And I understand that people have bad days. This was just too many bad things happening to us. It was one thing after the fucking other. You know, I was waiting for my luggage not to get there or for the car not to stop. It was one of those days. But you know what, man? I went to Michigan for 5 shows. I had a great time. Some people gave us a lottery ticket. Some people took care of us. Some guy sent you a card.
Yeah, thank you.
Where's I want to be around, cocksucker? Put that on a little music there. It's Monday, May 11th, cocksuckers. Get out there. Wash your helmet. I just realized how much I love Tony Bennett this morning.
Dustin's a wacky. Thank you.
We'll do it again the proper way, cocksucker. Dustin's a wacky. Uh-oh. You know what time it is? Time for an edible, Lisa.
No,
what are we doing next? So what do we have? We have the brownie so far, and we've had the caramel corn. Do you want to do a cocoa sparkle cookie? Let's do a cocoa sparkle cookie.
I can't do anymore.
Yes, you did, man. There's nothing. Look at it. It's 10 milligrams. Look at it.
I can't.
Go ahead.
Look at my face.
It's fine. Look at your face. One more. We're going to do that. We'll do a piece of pretzel, and then we'll call it a night. Go ahead. Eat one like this. Oh, my goodness. And this is a cocoa sparkle cookie, 200 milligrams. Vegan, low glycemic. This is good for you. Eat the cookie. Lee, please, we're doing this more. Way embarrassing. Auntie Dolores worked hard to send us this on the fucking arm.
Look what she's done to me so far.
Huh?
Look what she's done to me so far.
Listen, the pretzel, the caramel cone was not even 8 milligrams. This is 5.
Yeah.
You don't even have 120 in you.
Yes,
you,
I did.
Nah, you're light.
You're a liar.
I take care of you, Lee. I got your back. How delicious is that? Gluten-free, chocolatey. Nice. You don't taste the weed in this thing, Lee.
I'm not tasting much of anything right now, Joey.
That's good. That's what he's supposed to do. You don't want to taste nothing anyway. You don't want to have a guilty conscience. Something really weird going on at the house. Let me give some shout-outs real quick, and we'll talk about this.
Okay.
I want to give my man Martin a shout-out for the lottery ticket. We didn't win dick, but brother, I love you. Thank you for coming to the Grand Rapids show. My man Todd Lightly, Larva, whatever your fucking name is, Wait for Dust. No, Nick, my man Nelia Samuels, my man Harry Henderson, my man Jose Gaitan, and Matt in Winnipeg. I love you cocksuckers with all my heart, people. What are you giggling about? You already got the giggles and shit like a little kid. What am I going to do with you? I hit you in the head with one of those hitting six cigarettes. Something weird has happened in the house. I haven't talked to you guys in a while on a personal level. After Sissy, I put Sissy down About 5 days later, I had to put my cat Fidel down, who I had for 13 fucking years. Fidel was just a great cat. My wife is still shattered. In fact, it was Saturday that the week we put him down, and Saturday I was thinking about my mom because it was her birthday, and Fidel was more overwhelming. I couldn't believe how much I miss Fidel. I miss his walk. I looked at a picture of him, and he was just a fucking beautiful cat. But he lost like 18 pounds. Like he was
small at the end.
He was very tiny. He wasn't him. He was a shell of what he was. Fidel was a great cat. Fidel would, if you shit in a litter box and didn't cover it up, Fidel would whack you. And then he'd cover it up and whack you in the head, come find you and whack you. Fidel was very loving. He was very gentle.
He was the first cat to mess with me.
Yeah, Fidel loved everybody. Fidel would jump on your chest and rub your face with his face. He just meant well. He loved Damon. I called Damon and told him, your buddy, I had to put him down. Damon was in shock. Fidel was just I've been very blessed with great cats, and they got problems, but they're great cats. And I always felt that when you give an animal love, you know, you give them nothing but love, and you're honest with them, and you fucking, they love that. They do anything for that shit. And Fidel was just one of those guys. And the deal was, we're going to put him down on Monday. But Saturday, when we got back from swimming with the child, he was in the litter box, half in, half out. He wasn't even strong enough to come out of the cat litter box. My wife asked me. We started talking about it. We go, let's take him down. My wife was broken for 2 fucking days. My wife loved that cat. I mean, it was so sad. And I loved the cat with all my heart. We lost 2 cats in 1 week. But as Fidel was, me and my wife were talking, I looked at my 3 boys, and I said, it's about to go down.
For like the king of the house?
It's a power struggle. Now it's going to be a power struggle. You got 2 cats already that don't like each other. And Superbad always attacks Demi. Every fucking night, at some point in the night, I hear them struggling. And Demi doesn't like Superbad at all.
Really?
Yeah, Demi doesn't like
Superbad. Demi's a nice cat.
Demi's very nice, but he just doesn't like Superbad. Superbad gives him the fucking creep. You know, when Superbad comes next to him, he gets up and comes by me. It's a very weird thing. So I didn't know. It took a while. You know, it took him about a week to notice that Fidel was gone. And when I got in Sunday night, my wife was telling me, oh, my God, it's been a hell of a week with them fighting. Demi's got a scratch on his face. Harry's got a scratch on his face.
Harry fought.
Oh, Harry fights Superbad 3 times a day.
Harry's such a sweetheart.
No, Harry and Superbad have been like the Dillons and the McCoys. Who are those people from the South?
Hatfield and McCoy.
Hatfield. Yeah. They've been like that since day one. They just don't like each other, and every time they fucking get around each other, their hairs stick up. But my wife said it's been horrible. Like, before, it was just 2 scratches, and they both go to their corners. Now they're tangling. I haven't seen them tangle yet, but today I saw something very weird. For years, Superbad's been taking Demi. For years, Superbad's a fucking street savage. He's just tiny, but he's a dirty street cat, Superbad. When you pick Superbad up and you look at him and you kiss him, you're like, I love you, Superbad. But you're a fucking dirty fucking street cat. His head is tiny. His body's big. He's just a warped little motherfucker that has a lot of heart. And I love him. He saved me. So I can't throw him to the wolves. But he's not my ideal fucking cat of the year. Nothing like that.
He's not?
No. He's a fucking dirty ass motherfucker. But that's why I love him. He's got class. So today something happened. Fucking Demi was on the couch, and Superbad jumped up like 3 feet from him, and Demi just went over and swatted him, and Superbad cowed down, which in any other day of the week, Superbad would fucking attack him. And I saw last night that Superbad and Harry were having a problem, and Superbad hid behind the fucking thing. Because it's basically about age. It's an anarchy of age, like an AIDS thing, you know? So my wife said that Demi and Gray got into it too the other night. But Gray hates Demi. You know, Gray fucking hates Demi. It's so weird how I look at these cats and I learn to see their different personalities. But I was looking for the power vacuum. And it's what really baffles me, Lee, that this happens in corporations. That's how primitive we are.
What happens in corporations?
Okay, so
I lost you there.
You're a college guy. Okay. You just came in from college, and I've been there for 10 years. And all of a sudden, one day, the fucking CEO of comes in and he says, I'm quitting, okay? I'm giving my resignation. This has been great, but I'm going to go work at NBC. right away, you put your fucking antenna up and you go home and tell your girlfriend that your opportunity is here. You're going to take over this division. I go home and tell my wife I'm going for it. And then there's some fucking pipsqueak in accounting that he's been there longer than you and I. And he wants that position. So what happens? A slight but subtle thing starts, like a little war. Very slight, very subtle. But it exists. It's there. You know, a tension between people. And then it's the ass kissing, the who works later hours.
It's terrible.
Yes, it's terrible. But it shows us how primitive we are. Then you have the side of the street. You have drug dealers and mafia kingpins and Russians and everything. Same thing happens. Some guy goes to prison. He doesn't appoint a fucking... Nobody who goes to prison wants to appoint somebody. I'm the boss. I'll run this thing from prison. No, you're not. You're going to run it from prison. But you still need somebody out there to run that fucking operation for you.
Okay.
Okay? And boom. When there's not somebody, there's going to be a problem.
Because, shit goes down.
Because even if... Okay, so let's say I got to report to Lee.
I like that.
Even if... Even if, just by me reporting to Lee, that puts me in a different hierarchy. So I would come to my guys and go, listen, give me your envelopes. I'm going to report to Lee in prison. There's probably going to be two people reporting to Lee in prison and one other guy, like a son, that's telling them what's really going on. Because I'm going to go up to that thing with a story, and he's going to go up there with a story. Because eventually the guys that are dealing with you are going to get the next call to be you.
Oh.
So now it's one against the other. But that same exists with cats. One cat dies, the elder one, like when Demi died, Fidel had to fill his void. So Fidel became more vocal. It was really weird. Demi was always very vocal.
Finny
was always very vocal. When Finny died, Fidel became very vocal to the point where you wanted to fucking strangle him.
Yeah.
But you loved him so much. But he became very vocal because he thought that's how he had to act. And I saw this, and I was, like, baffled on how fucking much, you know, how our brain works from the smallest level of cats.
It's crazy how involved you are. It's because you spent a ton of time with those cats, like, when you're up late at night by yourself. Like you know your cats. Like, when you asked me to go feed them, you're like, okay, you got to put this bowl here, but make sure it's this bowl, not just any bowl, because so-and-so will only eat over here.
It's hysterical.
And you got to mix these two together. And, like, you were like, listen, they're not going to eat if you don't put it there, so please put it there. And, like, you just know them.
If you miss it, Harry will not eat anywhere else. There could be food in 10 bowls. Harry will not touch it if it's not by the cabinet. Fidel wouldn't eat if it wasn't by the garbage, by the door, by himself. The girls, they eat together. The boys eat together. That's just little quirks cat have. But it shows me that you have a choice as an animal even. You know what I'm saying? Like, how cool is it that these motherfuckers are like, I'm not eating out of his bowl. This is my bowl. I want it right there. I remember Fidel fucking crying because his bowl would be under the cabinet instead of by the garbage can. He wouldn't eat. Wouldn't fucking eat.
He just wanted to be by himself?
No, he wants it to be by the garbage can. I've learned so much about the cats that in turn it's helped me learn about myself. Like when I first had the cats, I would go home at night and get coked up. And in the middle of my coke up, I'd play with the cats. That was my entertainment. I'd be a little paranoid, but I'd be petting the cats. And by petting the cats, it would control me. It says that people, what's the statistic? That people who own cats or animals live a lot more.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, now in prison, they're giving cats to inmates. That's what I see on MSNBC. When I got those cats, I started really thinking about quitting blow. I got to be honest with you, because I was so involved with them when they came in that I knew that the coke and their involvement and my comedy and all the other shit I had going on at the time, it fills a void, man. Those cats really fill the void for me. They helped me take my mind off a lot of things. I owe a lot to those cats. I can't give six cats. Well, now, you know, whatever we have, but I can't give six cats attention 20 minutes each a day. I don't have it. But every day I spend time with one or the other. Today it was Lulu and Superbad, you know. Today it was Lulu. I got on my hands and knees and I kissed her and I brushed her and I rubbed her stomach and she was so excited. She was meowing hard. She started to purr when I would scratch her back, you know. And in turn, it relaxes me, man. It's really calmed me down. It's really, I don't know, it's made me a better person having a pet. And that's why I advocate having a pet, because I understand. But there's people who get pets and can't take care of them.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to be on the, you know, you have to be ready for a pet. You know when you're ready for a pet. You're like, you know what? I got some security. I'm ready. I have a partner. I have a plan, you know.
Well, it's crazy how many people don't, because, like, when I was looking for a dog, I went to the pound a few times. There's a ton of dogs there. And then down by where Paul lived, there's a ton of stray dogs.
Oh, just walking around.
It's crazy.
It's like, fucking crazy.
I couldn't imagine just abandoning an animal. I don't know how they live with themselves.
You know, years ago when the stock market fell and people were losing their homes, that was the biggest complaint, that people were leaving fucking animals behind. And I don't know. I made a commitment. Before I made that commitment, I really thought it out. And you know me. You've been around me for a couple of years now. I don't even like taking vacation. I don't like me and my wife gone together.
Right, yeah.
It spooks the shit out of me because it makes me, anything could happen to these animals. I don't want them, I love these animals. If I was gone in Aruba, I can't even relax knowing that they're alone, that somebody's coming in. When I always ask you to take care of them, what do I say to you? Sit with them for an hour.
Yeah, watch TV.
Put the TV on. They love all that shit. They come out and they'll play. And you get on. And next thing you know, you had plans. I don't know how many times I've had plans to just play. And also the next thing you know, I'm there an hour on the floor with them. And I'm having a great time. When I used to put the notebook paper up, and Dimmy would run through it.
He would?
Yeah, like a bullfighter.
Yeah.
When Dimmy was a kid, he would run through the paper. And he would run through it until he broke it in half. Well, I'd do that 80 times until he broke it in half. And even when he broke it in half, I'd go get another fucking piece. You know, they're entertaining. It's great to get a dog. Today I was getting my hair cut, and I heard about a lady who saved a dog on Route 405. Somebody dragged the dog and left him for dead. And I wouldn't know what to do. I think I'd fall apart if I saw a dog in that shape. I really would cry. And, you know, when I see cats getting hit or squirrels and they're still half alive, it breaks my fucking heart. If you're going to hit a fucking animal, kill him. Do me the favor. Kill him. Don't drag him down the corner and let him fucking live in that pain with a broken arm. How about I do that fucking shit to you, you know, if you're going to be a fucking criminal? I'd rather you kill the animal than leave it there for fucking dead. And then somebody gets stuck with an $8,000 fucking thing, and the cat's walking with a limp and a fucking cane the rest of his life. What's up, Lisa? Yeah. What's up in your world, cocksucker?
I wanted to talk to you about it. I'm trying to pitch to TV shows that they should have a companion podcast. And I've been on a couple meetings, and like they liked it, but they're having a hard time understanding like where it would be helpful. Like, they were like, how could we do like a lot of episodes? Like, they didn't understand it beyond interviewing the different departments. And like, I have another meeting Wednesday, but it's cool because I met this guy on Periscope. Like, he's a producer who's been saying, like, hearing TV pitches. So I emailed him and we have a meeting. But I think what it's going to take is like someone to understand social media to be able to do it. And it's kind of weird. Like, how many times have you pitched something and you think it's like a great idea, but no, they just don't understand it?
Well, they find the holes. And it's like everything else. Like I told you the other day on the phone, when you pitch something, it could be anything. I don't care what you're pitching. The nucleus of this whole thing makes you a salesman.
Yeah.
You're selling me your dream. You're selling me your idea.
Never done it before.
So what you have to do is you have to write the advantages. And then within yourself, look at the disadvantages. You know, when somebody builds a great alarm, what do? They go to prisons and they get the best fucking burglars in the world. The best. And they pay them. And they go, I want you to break into my fucking house for $100,000. I'm going to give you $100,000. You have to steal nothing. Just break into my house. And they look for gaps in their game. Before they present that alarm and what the offers are, they do that. Okay, did you ever see, what's the movie with Charlize Theron and...
Italian Job?
Italian Job. In the beginning, she's cracked safes, you know, she taught, you know, that's... What was I talking about?
I'm not exactly sure. As I was with you, though.
You're supposed to be with me, Lee.
So selling stuff.
What were we talking about?
Selling stuff.
So selling stuff. So you have to look at it, you know, they want to see what the holes are in your game. You're a young guy, so you look at the advantages of it. Let me tell you what the disadvantage. Tell me the disadvantages of it are. The disadvantage are, first of all, when you go in there, what did I tell you a couple weeks ago about clubs that don't know about a podcast.
Right.
It destroys my insides because this is what's feeding your electricity bill. This is what's keeping your lights on right now. Six or seven guys that have podcasts that are coming through here and the fans come out. They smoke weed. They eat. Podcast to me, if you don't know what a podcast is right now, shame on you. I know people will say, you know what? I've never listened to one, but I know it's like something like a radio show, right? Boom. Yeah. Okay, we're halfway there. Okay, so now you have to let them know the advantages. What are the advantages of having this fucking podcast? Let's say you went and pitched. Does The Walking Dead have a podcast?
Yeah, not an official one, but they do.
That's why it's. Is it the cast members?
No, it's not. What?
Is it the Nerdist?
It's AfterBuzz TV, and I'm okay. Sure they're nice people. I've never met them, but I did some research because I used to work for Hell's Kitchen, so that's who I was pitching to. So Hell's Kitchen has one through them, but it's like a radio host interviewing people over the phone. It doesn't even sound good, and that's not the point. Like, the point of it would be to have the host of the show or somebody involved, like a past winner.
I liked what the Sons of Anarchy did. Sons of Anarchy had a post show. The problem with the post show is they had a terrible fucking host, and they had it on the air. And you tape it half the time. You got to realize that 60% of the people are taping it. Well, those people that are DVRing it, those are the fucking podcast people you want. So if I was Kurt Sutter for FX, what would you pitch Kurt Sutter after season 3?
You'd say have a podcast where, because in 22 minutes you can't really get into a good discussion. If you could have one writer on.
Okay, no. See, that's where you fucked up. You're going to go in there, and the first thing you got to do is explain the podcast. Explains what it does for the careers of 20 fucking people. Not even Joe Diaz. Explain what it's done for Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
And how Joe Rogan and how Mark Maron. That's what you have to sell.
Oh, yeah, well, I said that.
Okay, no, you didn't. You have to sell that. And then you have to fucking get a list of TV shows that have a podcast and TV shows that don't. Okay? You have to do research, Lee. And you got to see what the differences is in numbers. And then how is this going to be advantageous to you? And you have to get a show that they have and already have the podcast planned out. So let's say you were pitching Kurt Sutter. Oh, the executive at Fox. You'd say, okay, so we need a common host. Somebody who's not on the show that interferes. That's where Lee Syatt comes in. Okay? Or anybody else. Just a regular guy that's a fan of the show that'll be the third voice to hear from. And you have Kurt Sutter, and you have one of the people that were in that episode.
Right.
And right after the show, or on the set while you're shooting it, you could Ustream it and put it up on whatever, or Foxnet it. You know, they probably have, they make this shit look like fucking, you know. And that's what you do. And you release that the Wednesday morning after the show airs on Tuesday night. Right. I'm just taking Sons of Anarchy here, ladies and gentlemen. That is your plan. If you do that, okay, what is the advantage to the show? How many viewers am I going to get more than what I'm doing right now? If I sink $3,000 a week into this league, which is 12 grand, I'll get sponsors to cover it. I'll get Fox, and I'll get fucking big-time people. How is this going to be advantageous for my show? Tell me.
I think you'd get more viewers. You get people who would just find the show. But then what I think the best part for you is maybe not that year, maybe 6 seasons down the road. Because what you get when you have a common host or you have someone who's invested in it is people get invested in them. I have so many fucking cool people with me on the podcast that if I was going to go do something, I know they'd support me. They'd support us if we ever did a Kickstarter. If the show's goal is to get extended. There was a bunch of cancellations this past week. You don't think so?
You're not selling the podcast, Lee. You're selling garbage. Okay. You're selling garbage. That's what the problem is.
So what do you say?
How many numbers? I want numbers. How many more viewers am I going to get from the podcast?
But there's no way to know that.
No. There's no way to know that. So this is what's going to happen. You got to sell them the advantage if they don't have the podcast. They don't have the podcast. Right now, anybody can have a TV show. But America has grown over the years. They want more.
Right.
They want social network. They want more.
Yeah.
We applaud that Charlie Hunan and all the fucking people have Twitter, and that's great. Do they do it themselves? We don't fucking know. They're making $80,000 a week. What the fuck they care about? Twitter. But we need a common ground for people to tap into, maybe listen to one of the guys talk about acting. Maybe how he got involved in acting. Maybe his story. There's always a great guest star. You know, they had fucking the player, whatever. But what happens if they don't have a podcast as a salesman? What's next? The pretzel. What happens if they don't have a podcast?
people lose
interest.
Will
the show get canceled?
Yes.
No, it won't. What you're going to sell them? What you're going to sell them? What you're going to sell them? Oh, and I don't know. I'd have to think about this. You don't want to know numbers? Always talk to viewers. When you go to those meetings, people talk numbers. When I sold sports information on the phone, I didn't talk numbers. I talked money. The bottom line. That bottom line is Gitas. Right. How are we going to make Gitas on this show? Why am I taking 2 hours out of my week to do this fucking podcast for a show? Now, Duncan Trussell always says that if he was on a TV show, he'd do his own podcast every week.
Yeah.
Because he'd communicate with the viewers to make your bond to the viewers strong. So when in your season 4, when fucking Breaking Bad 2 comes on or Hanging Out with Saul, your people don't leave.
Right. And they're actually doing podcasts, by the way.
There you go. So that's your fucking leg up. Now, again, let me ask you a question. Because Breaking Bad was a success, okay, the show that he had, this fucking Gilligan fucking moron, the show got canceled on NBC because all these idiots think that once they do one, they could do 20, and they think they're fucking special and geniuses, and they're fucking not. Stick to one show, what the fuck you know. This guy did Breaking Bad. Did he have, well, podcasts weren't around when Breaking Bad started. They were more popular towards the end.
Right.
But let's call Saul. Who does the podcast?
Them. He does it. He does it, and he has other guests on.
The actor.
Vin
Diesel. Vin Gilligan. Vin Gilligan.
So, I would love to have Vin Diesel on
that. So Vin Gilligan does the podcast himself?
Yeah.
That's genius. Yeah, and that's what amazing. You have to sell right there. That's a guy that saw a vision. That's a guy that saw a view. Let's compare. Let's look at, and now you have to break down shows. Let's look at what a spinoff does in television. Look at it with the spinoffs on all TV shows that have been around and see what they do if they last. And compare the numbers and see what the numbers are on Saul right now. And that's what you're selling the podcast on. There you go.
Okay.
So you have to do the research on what spinoff shows. So let's say there was a show called Married with Children. There was a spinoff to 16.
Oh, I see what you're saying, and seeing how that show did and compare it to how
Who the fuck do you think, if you're going to be a salesman, Lee, you got to sell money and percentages to TV people.
Yeah.
If you're going there, this fucking kid, you know, if you're going to do a $10,000 presentation, if you're not going to sell a $10,000 thing with a $10 presentation. Lee.
Right.
I want your presentation to be tip top. I don't want you going to another pitch meeting unless your presentation. When you go in there, you got to be prepared from A to Z. You got to have 4 points. And the last one, the whole time, you're always closing. Okay? So after each fucking tidbit, you tell them. You're going to tell them what's going to happen to their show if they don't fucking get a podcast. And you look them straight in the fucking eye. And the first one who talks fucking loses. And then you go into another fucking stomach, your speech. And again, you let them know again, this is what's going on. So your first one, you're going to tell them the history of the podcast and the shows that are existing in the podcast. And then you're going to tell them why their show should do a podcast. And then you're going to tell them what will happen if their show doesn't do a fucking podcast, okay? And then you're going to pitch the podcast to them. You're going to tell them who's going to do it, when and how, and when it has to be up. Okay? Because don't let them think of a fucking original idea. None of those motherfuckers have had an original idea since 1962. They're fucking dummies. And what did I tell you? You have to go in there assuming they're fucking morons. Because that's what they are. You know, how many people are not on Twitter? How many comedians, after the success of Twitter and podcasts, still refuse to do a podcast with Twitter, but still sit there and fucking, tell you how you're lucky, YouTube, whatever. How many of them? How many fucking people? How long will it last for? That's what you're selling. And if you sell it with that passionately, you'll get it. Right now, you only pitch once or twice. You're not going to sell nothing your first two pitches unless you're fucking Johnny Rotten. You're learning the ropes. You're learning the objections. If this is what you want to do, there's a show out there that needs a podcast. Modern Family do a podcast?
Not an official one.
Okay, so now who does the Nerdist do a podcast for? I thought he did a show after that fucking show with Zombos and shit on AMC. The Walking Dead.
Yeah, well, he did a TV show.
Okay.
His was a TV show.
So the same thing. Podcast, TV show. I guarantee that I would get more people to download the podcast than that after fucking show. That's yeah, another thing I want you to
check. That's what I was saying, yeah.
No, I want you to go in there with the numbers. I don't want you to tell me.
But you can't. I don't have access to anybody's podcast.
You got them. Make up numbers. Go in there and make up fucking numbers.
Okay.
Make up the what do they know? You think they're going to leave and go to the office and check? They're going to be so blown away from your fucking thing that you could sell them whatever the fuck you want. You could tell them 18%, 92%. In 1983, when this show came up with a sequel or a fucking spinoff, these were the numbers. The show lasted 2 years. So far, now what makes Saul that much better? They're living in 2015. You're selling 2015, not 2008. Because they don't know, Lee. And what do people do? Why don't you go to jiu-jitsu? Why don't you lift weights, Lee? Because people who are scared of things don't want to try them.
Right.
I got to leave. So when you go in there, you got to think from your perspective. How many times is Joey going to tell me to do fucking push-ups or to lift a fucking dumbbell just to do something different and I don't do it? You're going to have to sell it from that perspective to them, why they have to do the podcast. And that's it. That's the pitch. I pitched a lot, and I always left with a hole in it. I remember these guys approaching one time, and they wanted to pitch a detective that had a martial arts school, and he worked with the mayor behind the scenes. It was a great idea. But they wanted me to wear a kung fu suit to the fucking pitch, like a Chinese one where they roll up. And I refused to do it because I said, this is, you're using a prop to close a TV show. That's never worked. You got to sell money and how this is going to fucking profit you with the least. Same thing when I come to you. What do you want? You want more money for less time. And how is this going to affect you, Lee? 3 years from now, your show will not get canceled because you develop a bond with the public. They have an email where people can hit emails up from the thing. This is a complete social media thing. You're going to put a complete social media together. You're going to work closely with their social media department. And that's how you sell this, Lee.
Thank you.
Because they don't know what they're doing, and they don't want to deal with anything. They think you're going to call them up at 2 in the morning and say, hey, the Ustream is down. They don't want to deal with that. They want to go to their parties and ha-ha-ha. And in a year when the show's successful, they'll take the... Yes, that was my idea, to put the podcast with the show.
Right, yeah.
So what's the story next week in Cocksucker? You coming to Las Vegas?
Hell yeah.
You bringing Paula?
No.
You coming by yourself? Are you staying at the South Point with me?
Sure.
Want me to get your room?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Talking Lair's going to come.
A little discounted room. D'Agostino's going to come. We're going to eat fucking pasta. You driving?
Sure.
Are you really?
Yeah. Yeah,
you can't get a ticket now.
I checked, and it was like $300, and then I was like, there's cabs.
One way.
No. I found a round trip today from Burbank.
Really?
Yeah,
on
but...
On what?
Southwest.
Really?
But it was just like, then you have to get a cab to the South Point. I might as well just drive. I like driving.
No, if you come with me, Friday morning, the South Point will pick us up, take us right down to the Junkie.
What time Friday morning?
6:30.
Okay.
See if it's still available.
I will.
Look at you. You gonna gamble?
No, I can't.
Yes, you
ooh,
can.
I'm excited though. I had a bet that on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl, so I won $100.
All right, so talk to me about this. Talk to me about what happened today. I went to the gym. And I saw that they suspended Tom Brady for 4 games for the deflated ball. Now who suspended him and who did this investigation? Because I knew nothing about it. I thought that they was dead 6 months ago.
No, they were pissed off. They had this guy.
Are we doing a little piece of the star death?
No.
Just to complete that. We've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different edibles tonight, Lisa.
I'm good.
You know that? And we're still standing like soldiers. This is why I love you. You got fucking clash. You got style. You got mink and gore. You got personality.
Thanks.
What do you think you're dealing with? This isn't the fucking podcast I wanted, but we got the best of what we got on the Monday night. We got the message. We wanted to level out with you people because we've had guests the last fucking 8 things. Tomorrow we got Sebastian Maniscalco at 1:30. So get ready for that, Lee. We don't have to get high tomorrow, Lee, all right?
I don't believe you. What? So someone note the time on Twitter. It's 9:33.
And then what?
Tomorrow at 1:30, you're going to be like, here, have a piece.
Sure, but it's Tuesday. Tomorrow, I don't know what I'm going to feel tomorrow. Right now, I'm not going to feel like getting high tomorrow, especially after the smorgasbord. But Tuesday, tomorrow's the fucking 12th.
You know what happened on
Tuesday the 12th? May 12th.
We got high?
No, something happened. We got something fucking happened. We got to celebrate it, Lee. So you don't know what happened to him. They got suspended four games.
They lost
two draft picks. They got fined $1 million.
Yeah, it was like the highest ever fine. I don't know if he did it. And the report only said he probably did. So they didn't even, they couldn't prove it. But he probably did. But I think, don't they usually appeal? And then maybe his suspension will get cut by two games or something.
I didn't listen to the guys what they were saying. I just seen it come on the big screens. And in a way, now I feel bad for people, because when that fucking white boy comes back and starts throwing darts after those 4 weeks, it's going to be scary. Them suspending him for four games, it's like throwing fucking gasoline on a bee's nest.
And it's good because he's old, so like it could be good to save him for four games.
Yeah, for four games.
Then to get into the playoffs.
He's
going
to come out. Who they got those four games?
Let me check.
I saw who they had those four games. I think the Raiders, somebody else. It really doesn't matter. I usually don't talk football on here, but fuck it. This is something that happened today. A lot of people like Tom Brady. I'm a fan of Tom Brady's. I don't. Lee, you didn't eat the pretzel.
I'm way too hot.
No, you got to eat the pretzel. The pretzel's the last thing on the fucking thing. And we'll split this greenhorn, and then we'll go home like gentlemen. What do you think? And we'll do a cavalcade of things tonight. Why? The pretzel's 3 milligrams. They're fucking my friend's favorite in Jersey.
All right. First four. Oh no.
Let's see what you got here. What did they get? What?
Okay. Well, we got. Well, fuck. Okay. So we start out with Pittsburgh, which is not good. Buffalo, which is not looking good. Then we got Jacksonville, which is fine. And then we have a bye. And then we have at Dallas, which sucks. So, yeah, it's not an easy four games.
Who gives a fuck? Well, people are very excited about you putting those things on YouTube. You know, you had to put them on, Lee.
Well,
you
yeah, it was just... Like it.
You gotta, I don't care who's taking them down. At least give them the opportunity.
Yeah, we got locked out of our account. And so we just got back into it. And then I put them up. Sometimes they get taken down, but they should all be up by now.
My GMAC account from the YouTube, from the website got closed. I don't know what happened over the weekend. I tried to switch it over and I lost it. If you're trying to send me an email and I haven't re-answered you back, it's not that I don't love you, it's that I can't fucking get to it. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do or how I'm going to do this. You might have to come over tomorrow and tell me what the fuck to do. So if you've emailed me, I know my man Noah from the agency tried to contact me about a book. And we were supposed to talk on Friday. I opened up my email this morning. It was gone. Daniel sent me a fucking email that he said he sent me an email. So please, if you sent an email recently to the church on the website, joeydiaz.net, and I haven't answered, it's not because I don't love you. It's because I can't fucking get to the goddamn email. So.
Yeah, so, but yeah, we're in.
What happened to the pretzel, Lee? I don't want to hear nothing.
Come on, man.
What?
Can we split it?
No, I already ate 10 of them. Let's go. What split? Just throw it down like a soldier. That's a 3 milligram pretzel. These are all novelty things, Lee. We're not even that high. You're really not. You're really not. Think about it. You're not high. You're high on the... See? Look how nice you are. See how nice? And the guy just hit me up from Anarchy Edibles. We're picking up new stars. A bunch of little stars of debt. So we're back, Lee. We're fueled up constantly. And I just want to know, like I said before, these guys don't sponsor me. These guys don't pay me a fucking dime. They send me the product. I sample this stuff. You know, people send me vapor pens. I can't really mess with vapor pens because I have Nailed It Life as a sponsor, and they're my vapor pen of choice, so I really can't help you with vapor pens. But if you have an edible and you want me to try it, let me know. I'll fucking go to the store and buy it. I'll let you know my true fucking review. But don't show up with some shit. You better show up with something 300 milligrams or 200 milligrams that fucking will knock the mule down. Don't waste my time if you're fucking around. I don't want to eat a big cookie.
That'd be funny if
you did
that.
I don't
want to
eat a bag of goldfish. The smaller, the better. We go for little things that are atomic. You understand me?
It'd be funny if someone gave you a bad one and then you did like a bad review.
I got to give
them
a bad review. I can't let fucking people eat bad fucking edibles. Every edible I fucking talk to you people about, I stand behind 150%. I don't eat. They don't pay me. Anthony Dolores is a sweetheart. My man from Anarchy Edibles, I love him to fucking death. He's got a great brownie, ladies and gentlemen. Anarchy Edible not only has the fucking stars, they have a tremendous chocolate fucking Rice Krispie treat. They have a tremendous chocolate brownie. They have a... What's the matter, Lee? You look like somebody cracked a fucking funny. I didn't say nothing funny, you fuck. Chiba Chew has a tremendous green hornet. For the money, one of the best edibles out there. I think they just raised the price. I liked them at 10. The Decadose white one is great. The Decadose Green Hornet, which I gave Lee tonight, is also great. It's like 9,000 milligrams. No, it's only 75 milligrams, you can see. I'm only lying to you. you know, these are products that I eat. I rotate them so I don't get used to them and I don't get spoiled. So I'm not here to lie to nobody. These are not, they don't pay me a fucking dime, okay? I still have not reviewed the Axis Roach Clip 300 because we never fucking bring a roach up here. So that's the next thing we got to review. They want to do something, we're going to give them like an episode brought to you by Axis 3000 type shit, okay?
Okay.
You got a look on your face like you just smelled a bad asshole. What is it, Lee? Talk to me,
Cuxton. I'm fine. I'm just super duper high.
That's right. It's Monday night. Everything's beautiful.
Everything's great.
You going to go see the Agostino Kansas City barbecue and do some
No, drinks? I can't eat barbecue.
I didn't say to eat barbecue. I said you're going to go over and look at the egg. You're going to go over there and say hello.
Who's going to go to a barbecue place and
Every
not
Monday
get a barbecue?
They fucking pack. Where you going? You get a beer and a sausage. Is that too hard to understand, to comprehend? You want to go over there and say hello?
Okay.
Okay. You're not going to go. You didn't even bring your car. You fucking...
I Uber.
How the fuck are you going to stop with this Uber shit? Who dude. Picked you up today?
This is weird, dude. He had like a really old car. He had like, it still had like the manual windows, and it was a bad one. But
you sit in the back seat, or you sit next to him in the front seat?
Back seat.
How'd the back seat look?
It was clean. It was just old.
How much the guy charge you?
$440.
How much you give him?
Four. You can't give him money more.
No tips?
They don't have it on the app. No.
Why?
Because they don't. I don't know. Lyft lets you give people tips.
Now, what's the difference between Lyft and fucking...
Nothing. Just two different companies.
And Lyft is good, too? And these are people yeah, with their personal cars?
Yeah. Lyft is a little more expensive. But now it's crazy. People are like... There's like a business growing of like... You can rent a car by the week. And then you Lyft or Uber with that car. Like, so people are like renting Priuses. People are making a lot of money doing it. You just have to be out there for a fucking long ass time.
It's pretty fucking unique how people are making a living driving people. Hey, it's a hustle, man.
Yeah.
And you work for yourself, right? Or Uber takes a piece of action?
They take 20%.
So a $440, you bring home fucking three something, man.
But there's a $1 safe ride fee, so yeah. That we don't get. I don't know what the fuck that's for.
And you get the rest. So out
260.
Of, so you get 260 for, you know how many fucking rides you got to give for 260?
When I did it for like those few days, the only good ones were like the far ones.
Who sent you a check? Did they send you a check yet?
Yeah, they do direct deposit.
Really? Right there when it happens?
Yeah. Well, every week.
Once a week?
Yeah.
Very interesting. See, people, if you're hurting for some money, wash the fucking back seat, put some stars, put some fucking little, those little Christmas trees back there that smell good.
One dude who picked me up here had a Lexus, had a cooler with sodas in it, and had an iPad for you to use. People are getting really creative with it. It's really cool.
No shit. Yeah, it's a way to do it. Free sodas?
Yeah, free.
And the iPad was stapled to something?
Yeah.
Or you picked it up? And
yeah, no, it was like attached to the headrest.
And what do you go on there to see?
He said it was cool. Like the girls like doing it with photo booths, and then they take pictures of themselves, and then they can send it to themselves.
Very nice, lady.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
You learn something fucking new every day, brother. Thank you. Thank you for, I don't know nothing about that shit, Lyft, but now the people that live in the area can get a fucking lift if you're fucked up, like Lee said. What are we eating next, Lee? We got to eat something else. One last thing. What are we going to do before we tap off?
A cyanide pill?
No, let's do some of the Star of Death for the Anarchy edibles. Let's see. Let's
no, thank it. You. I love you guys, but I'm going
to... Look at this. This is still fresh. We got the seal meal 2 weeks in. What do you think, Lee?
Look I think you're crazy.
Let's eat this little corner right there.
No,
you
thank
and me.
You.
What do you mean, no thank you? What's dude. Looking out there? What dude, what?
I've had like 400 milligrams.
No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You had 75. 75 and 5 is 80.
That's more than 5.
20 and 80 is 105. 110. And 112. That's what you had tonight. You could do a little edible. What the fuck? We're going beef tonight. The fuck? This is delicious. It's fresh. Who do you think you're dealing with here? Look at this. It's fucking beautiful.
You're a crazy person.
You know what I mean? I'll give you a little piece.
Though. That's not a little piece. Look at that. You that's guys. A... Look what I'm dealing with.
I'll give you a little piece right here. How's that? Look at that.
Oh, I don't want to do that either.
That's not even 5 milligrams. Cut it out.
Where'd stop it go? Crying.
Look at this. Look what I'm throwing down. That's another 100. Like I told you, if you're going to go deep, you got to go deep, we say that. We ain't fucking around.
We're deep
this
so
ain't
long,
even a
you know?
Reefer podcast. We're just fucking around here like gentlemen.
We're so deep.
You want me to get you a pizza?
Huh?
You in the mood for a pizza and some garlic?
Oh, yeah.
I know you're in the mood for some bad fucking pizza.
It was good.
Which one?
Danielle's.
What's Danielle's?
The place I sent you to. The brick oven place.
Not bad. The cheese is delicious. The crust is what you got a problem with.
We got extra cheese.
Oh, shit. It was all over the place. How many slices did she eat?
Four.
Lee.
We split.
But she ate four and you ate four?
She only ate three.
And you ate four? What'd you do with the extra piece?
I threw it away.
You're a fucking animal, Lee. All right, cocksuckers. We'll be back tomorrow.
Wait, we didn't do ads.
We're going to do ads right now. I'm just talking to these people. Relax. Okay. Where the fuck are you going, cocksucker? Let me put my glasses on right now. We had a great, beautiful podcast. We just discussed what was going on in our lives. I'm sorry I just dropped the cat thing on you guys. I didn't want to talk about it when Hegan was here or the other guy. Fidel, it happens. You know, I'm not really that upset. I just... You should have just seen the face Lee made. He's scared to go home. Now. He just went, I got to go home and get high. Anyway, for total optimization, I love these guys. I took them yesterday after my 12-hour fucking day this morning just to get rejuvenated. Alpha Brain is fucking great. I went to the gym today, and I had to do my lower half, which is deadlifts, a couple squats, a couple of the machines, the hack machine, some extension. Then I get on the elliptical, and I took the Shroom Tech Sport today. I took two of them. I got to tell you something, Lee. I felt like a fucking savage today. By the time I got in the elliptical, I was already fucking drenched from the deadlifts, and I just started sweating, and my shorts had circles on them from the shirt dripping on the thing. I stayed on 5 or 6 the whole 20 minutes, man. I just moved on it. I must have burnt like 400 and something calories today, and that was the fucking Shroom Tech. I'm telling you, people, this shit works. You know, I haven't tried the New Mood in a while. You know, I do the 180 when I fly. Like yesterday when I got back last night, I tried the 180. And I tell you, I was up for a little while with jet lag, but I fucking fell asleep and I felt great today. I had no effect. I had to take a nap today. I did 1,000 things today. On it is great. That's what I'm telling you. I think Arby was on Joe's podcast today. He's always trying to develop new things. He's always adding things to pills and taking them out. And just because, you know, he knows maybe it doesn't work. Look, he released 180, took it off the market and brought it back a lot better. That's what customer service is all about. They just put them in Whole Foods. Do me a favor. Go to onnit.com. Take a look at the webpage. Take a look at what they got to offer. They got so many fucking things. Supplements. They've got the battle ropes. I can't get you hooked up on that. As far as supplements, I'll get you 10% off. I want you to try them. If you're working out, just try Shroom Tech. Just try it one fucking time. Go to onnit.com. Go to the box and press in.
Church.
When you're ordering Shroom Tech, and get 10% off. All right? Just try it. If you go into the gym, you're struggling with breathing or whatever, they can't help you with that. That's what I thought Shroom Tech was going to help me with. What it has given me is a little bit more gas tank. It's given me a little bit more energy, which I never knew. I don't drink energy drinks or nothing like that. So please, go to onnit.com, go to the box and press in.
Church.
Boom! And get 10% off. And if you want to stay on it, they'll mail it to your house in the first of the month, every fucking month. All right? My people, Hitty Sigs, just doing a great job. When I'm on the road this week, I brought like two of them from my hotel room. I brought the one cigar and one 16 milligram nicotine. They're fucking great. 1,200 puffs. They're always coming out strong. Listen, I got no complaints about Hitty Cigs. If you're thinking of quitting smoking or you want to try the cigar they got, go to HittyCigs.com right now and press in.
Joey's Church.
And you get what?
20%
off. 20 motherfucking percent off. So it costs 20, you get it for 16, okay? Go to HittyCigs.com. They make a great fucking product. 1,200 guaranteed puffs. Go to 7-Eleven, buy one of those cigarettes. You get like 6 fucking puffs, all right? And for what? For 10 bucks? This is 16, and you're going to get fucking 1,200 guaranteed puffs. Go to the fucking box right now. Go to HittyCigs.com. Look at the selection of cigars and cigarettes they got. Go there. Press them what, Lee?
Joey's Church.
Boom! And get 20% off. Again, my main people, Dave motherfucking Foley making it happen over there at Iron Dragon TV. I think we're going to do a sample run next week that I'm back for the week with Alda. I'm going to call Alda tonight. Me and Alda want to do a couple of these movies and do the Iron Dragon TV. But always, the leader in classic martial art films. These guys aren't fucking around, all right? Every week they're adding new fucking films. Go to IronDragonTV.com right now, and get 2 free martial art fucking films. Even get them now for the weekend. Just get them. What are they pressing the box?
Joey.
Joey. And you get 2 free fucking martial art films. They got Rogan on there talking. They got Onnit videos on there. It's not just about that, man. This is another company that I love what they do because they're trying to, they specialize in 4K technology.
They're the leaders.
They're the leaders in 4K technology. Hopefully they get the UFC contract. Their films look great. All that classic martial art films, it looks that much better. But fuck it. Fuck what Uncle Joey says. Go to Iron Dragon TV right fucking now. Go look at what they got to offer. Press in.
Joey.
And get two free films. All right? Enough is enough. Again, for my reefer heads, I love you cocksuckers. I'm not here to blow smoke up your ass. NailedItLife.com. The best vapor pen on the market. Tremendous guarantee. I know these guys. They're fucking family. I know their family from North Bergen and West New York 30 fucking years ago. I went to Tweety's fucking wedding. In fact, he got off parole today. Thank God. After 22 years, he put it on Facebook. After 22 fucking years, his parole ended today for that thing when he was throwing the coke off the plane. That's how we roll. We hang with people that throw coke off fucking planes. You understand me?
Congratulations.
Anyway, go to NailedItLife.com right now. Look at the great selection of stuff they got. They got everything for you in the dab world. These guys are a leader in dabs. Every time you see them, they got a bag full of fucking dabs. Go to NailedItLife.com and press in.
Joey Diaz.
And get 20% off the pen.
Right.
20% off the vapor pen. One of the best vapor pens in the market. Full fucking guarantee. They answer your calls. All right. Another shout out to Onnit, Hitty Sigs, Iron Dragon TV, and Nailed It Life. Martin for the lottery ticket. And you guys for listening and for loving us and for us for loving you, motherfuckers. Had a great time in Grand Rapids. Las Vegas is fucking next, cocksucker. What, bitch? I'll be at the store tomorrow on Saturday night. What, bitch? I'll be in Oakland shooting a video game whiskey. What, Lee?
What's up, buddy?
What else are we eating?
Nothing.
That's it. We're tapping out for the night. I love you guys with all my fucking heart. Thank you very much for listening tonight. You know, we didn't want a guest tonight. We just wanted to chit-chat and just catch up. I think next week we're going to call my man DC. We're going to call a couple motherfuckers next week, all right? What do you think, Lisa? Yeah.
Let's do it.
How you doing with your little fucking frantic mushroom shirt on?
I'm good.
All right, wrap it up. I love you guys. Have a great fucking day tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow at 1:30 to rock your world.
Oh, and then can we say about the website?
Talk to them, Lisa. Okay. Tell them what's going on.
So
next Monday, May 18th, we're going to switch over. You're going to go to joeydiaz.net.
/live.
/live. Tap, knock on that link, and that's what we're coming on. We're no more Ustream. We're going to rock the fucking world, all right? We're going to start promoting on Thursday every hour on the hour on Twitter to let you guys know we're coming on a different thing. We're going to give this a try. So get ready to rock. Have you tried it already? Is it running?
We've tried it, but I want to do, guys, like later this week, look for me on Twitter. I'm going to do a test because I want to see what happens if a bunch of people start going on. Okay. But
sounds perfect. I love you, cocksuckers. Stay black. Uncle Joey here for you, cocksuckers, always.
Go to Onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to get 10% off of all the great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, Shroom Tech Sport. Go to IronDragonTV.com and use code word Joey to get 2 free rentals from all the great martial arts movies and the leader in 4K technologies. For all the oil and wax smokers out there, for the premier vapor pen on the market, go to nailedatlife.com. Also, Los Gumis Hermanos. And you're going to get 20% off the vapor pen with Cobra Joey Diaz. And go to hitesigs.com. Better tasting, longer lasting. The proof is in the vape. They have e-cigarettes and e-cigars for you. 20% off and use Cobra Joey's
church. What are you giggling about? And don't forget, I'm in Oklahoma City, May 30th. Crank that motherfucker, Lee. Little Gimme Shelter for you motherfuckers. The Stones, man. A lot of good shit they got. If you don't listen to them, or you think they're just old guys, you're wrong, brother. This is one of those jams. What? Kick that motherfucker, Lee.